Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Text for consideration today recorded for us in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We hear just a few words. Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." God's word is truth. Amen. A bloody death occurred. Carl's body and soul were torn apart, and his soul stands staring at his scammed friend, Sam. And Carl starts to go over to him, and the ghost Sam turns Carl's eyes to see what has taken place. Carl realizes that he's no longer alive, but a spirit in the afterlife has come. And it is at that moment that shadows come alive as evil spirits and cart Carl's soul off to the shadows, while muffling his screams. Sam is played by Patrick Swayze in the movie Scene from the movie Ghost. Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg are in it too, and the movie is soon to turn 30 years old, and I remember that scene from so long ago because of how odd it was to see a movie speak about the afterlife as a real thing, and more so about hell being real. According to Pew Outreach 4 years ago, 72% of Americans believe in heaven, 58% of Americans believe in hell. Now, you wouldn't think it, the way society shushes the conversation, yet deep down, people know what God speaks about clearly in Scripture. Heaven and hell are very real, and the afterlife is very real. God is very real. Our salvation in Jesus Christ is very real. And today, Jesus pulls back the curtain of what separates that which is earthly from that which is eternal, and we do well to pay attention to it. Jesus blows the top off this thing right away. It's all wrong, isn't it? If you take a look at it like you've never taken a look at it before, the poor guy, right, the one who was thrown down to find food scraps and not cared for by anyone, he is a believer. The rich guy who doesn't care about God, who has no faith in God, who doesn't even care for this horrible, miserable person right at his doorstep, who dies at his doorstep, it is him who lives in luxury. I mean, he is spoiled rotten, and yet his soul is soiled with sin. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. And yes, Jesus does this for a reason. We get so caught up, don't we? We get so caught up in stuff and not caught up in our salvation. Are we guilty of living for luxury and not the Lord? What is it that matters? Lazarus would tell you. The rich man would tell you if he could. He's even got ideas on how to turn everyone into a believer. But the rich man, he passed a sermon every day. Every day he passed a sermon to help those who cannot help themselves, to care for others. Every day he saw how privileged he was, and how he could pass on the gifts God gave him. He saw opportunities to become a river to let God's good pass through his hands into the hands of others instead of a cesspool where every penny is stored and used for personal glory issues. Friends, God made us to give and care for one another, and when we fail, it isn't good for the soul. Generosity is a fruit of faith, helping others out others. That is a fruit of faith. And since the rich man had no faith in Jesus for salvation, it isn't too surprising that there were no fruits of faith either. And there is another sermon in Lazarus, this believer, who has faith in such times as these, where the only friends he has are the dogs who compete for his food, but they lick and clean his sores and care for him in a way nobody else does. The rich man could demand, "Tell me more about this faith of yours, how you hold on to him while holding on to my discarded gristle on a T-bone." But all the sermons lived out before his eyes fell on deaf ears. His soul was shut tight and sealed without the gospel. Well, sad it is that this, just a drop of water, that's all he wanted. What a horrible fate it is that this rich man waited too long, waited until it was too late to get right with God, which he couldn't anymore. He waited until he was in hell before he understood his need for God. He waited until he was in hell before he recognized that life isn't about money and material and possessions. And who knows what the rich man was like in his earthly life. He could have been honored and praised by people who were around him. We don't know. Understand, he was in hell for no other reason than this. He disregarded the word of God. He rejected the Lord. Check yourself. If you are at that spot spiritually, repent and turn to the Lord who gave his life so that you might have life, so that you will be led by Abraham's side, which is in heaven itself. Have an open heart to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. The rich man in hell, he is nice. He wants to save his brothers, but he is wrong in how to do it. You'd say, forget the gospel. Forget the word of God. Forget every sermon preached from the preacher to the life lived before our eyes. Scare the life out of them by raising the dead to share a message. Have them run to God, terrified to be in this hell that I am in. A drop, please, a drop of water. And that was his thought. It doesn't work. Repentance is not brought about by fear. Repentance is sorrow over sin, confessing our sin, turning away from sin and turning toward God, believing in God for our salvation, our deliverance. And that doesn't come from a timeout, a spanking, a dead man talking, or even a trip to hell and back. It can only come from the Holy Spirit working through his word, which Abraham calls Moses and the prophets. And the Holy Spirit working through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. From there flows a heart open to repentance. And we are drawn to the gospel by the love of God, not the fear of hell. Whatever your financial resources are, great, all right, or scarce, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. It is silly at times how much we get caught up in it all. Today, Jesus shows us what really matters, the Word. And the Word speaks of how Jesus suffered all and bore all our sins on the cross to take away the punishment that we deserve. He rose to life for our justification. He rules all things from the right hand of God for our good. And what is priceless, more valuable than all the diamonds, rubies, and every precious stone on the face of the earth is this: God's promise of salvation to you. With the gift of faith that he has bestowed upon you, there's a place for you at Abraham's side. By faith, hold on to the promises of God. Treasure them, adore them, consider the most valuable thing you ever could and ever have, because that is what they are. The most valuable thing in your life. Amen. Unto him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood, and made us a kingdom and priest to God his Father, to him be the glory and power forever. Amen.